What a weird place to live, stealing. And people steal all the time. What's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. Do not steal. How many of you have ever had something stolen from you? Right? How many of you have ever stolen anything? And the rest of you are lying. Where you've stolen something that's not yours. You know, we're affected by this every day. Every single day, somebody is stealing something from somebody. Whether it's your time, stealing your time, whether it's stealing your possessions, something that you love or that's yours, or stealing your glory, stealing something, stealing the credit. If you've ever been stolen or robbed, we live in a society that this is an epidemic, this is a pandemic. I just heard from some friends of mine that live right around the corner. They just posted, "We got robbed. I came outside and people were robbing it, vandalizing my car and robbing." I've been robbed before. That's a weird feeling. In the middle of our house, in the middle of the night, upstairs, somebody broke into our house, and they were downstairs. My wife, the reason I know is my wife woke me up. She says, "I think someone's downstairs." I said, "You should go down and see." It's a true story. She'll tell you. I sent her downstairs. No, she said, "You get up." I said, "I'm not going down there." I was scared to death. My heart was pounding. My adrenaline was rushing. Everything went into slow motion. I looked for something, and in my closet was my shotgun. But my shells were downstairs. Right? So I took my shotgun, and I did the only thing I could think of. I stood at the top of the stairs and went, I just started racking it, right? I've got a 12-gauge with a 30-inch barrel fully modified. Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't loaded. Although, you know, I love those movies, right? You see these movies, and halfway through the whole scene, finally someone goes, like, so it wasn't loaded. I mean, you had nothing racked in there, right? You're running around. So I just kept racking it. Finally, I went downstairs. Front door is wide open. Whoever was there left, and it scared me half to death. That's a weird feeling. We're affected by stealing, the eighth commandment. People are stealing things all the time. In fact, if you've ever been robbed, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been robbed, think about this. It's so commonplace. Here's what we've done as a society. We haven't evolved to the place where we can just not leave our houses unlocked. How many of you leave your houses unlocked? I mean, you feel so comfortable in your neighborhood, you just leave your houses unlocked? Yeah. What's your address? First service, all these people raise their hands. I'm like, okay, yeah. All right. Really? We lock our houses up. We bolt them, lock them, put alarms. And then some of you have fences to protect your property. Some of you have houses with alarms and locks and fences. And then some of you have dogs in your fences, in your houses, with your alarms. My dog's real scary. Come by my, just bring a dog treat and you're in. She'll show you the way in. She'll show you where the safe is and everything. Great watchdog. Come on in. He keeps it all in here. Some of you, here. Don't get me distracted. I'm too ADD for this. And then we have, I mean, everything we do, we lock things up. We lock our cars up. We put alarms on our cars. We put alarms on our cars, and then we have alarms on our keychains for our cars that we don't know how to work. And then we open the car door accidentally, and then the alarm goes off. We can't shut it off, so we walk in going, "Whose car is that?" We come back after the battery's dead. We lock everything up. We have, I mean, our cell phones. What are we trying to protect? What's your password? Mine is 1111. That way I can remember it, because when it goes off, it's like, "Oh, password, what happened? It locked me out." Locked me out of what? Then they have these things on your phones that you can zip and zap and zoop and zip, whatever you do to your password. And then now we have thumbprints for our phones and chips in our phones. We have passwords and passcodes. You have bank accounts. If you've ever been hacked, 1 in 10 Americans this year will have their identity stolen. Somebody wants my ID? You can have it. You want to be Pastor Mitch? You can come and preach, too. You can do all the house calls and hospital calls, and you want my ID, you can have it. What are you going to get? You want my bank account? God bless you. We'll start sending the bills to your house. Oh, I didn't need to steal this guy's ID. What do you want? We protect everything. And after protecting everything, we haven't done so good. We go to stores. You walk in the doors. They have security detectors and tags on the objects to make sure you don't walk out without paying. You look around. There's a bunch of security cameras. And standing there is someone standing in a security guard outfit. The whole point is this. It's an epidemic. Martin Luther, hundreds of years ago, said this. If we were to hang, if you took all the people who stole and hung them, you'd run out of rope, and you'd need to start using men's belts to hang all the thieves who stole. People steal all the time. They don't even think twice about it, right? Martin Luther, he said that. I love what Mark Twain said. You know who the biggest thieves are? Not the guys with the masks going to the banks. Those we recognize, you say, bad guy. You know the bad guys that we don't know about? The ones with the suits and the ties that live in Washington, D.C. Have you been robbed today? Yeah, you owe $53,000 the day you're born to the United States government to pay off the debt of those who are robbing you, who don't go by the same rules and tax laws. You're being robbed blind. Mark Twain said, it could probably be shown by facts and figures that there's no distinctly American criminal class except Congress. That's what Mark Twain said about those guys. I heard about a young guy, a young farmer. His name is Chuck, and he wanted to buy a horse. So he called up this farmer, and the farmer goes, yeah, I'll sell you my horse, $100. That's a pretty good price, I think, for a horse, $100, nice horse. Well, the next day, you know, he pays for it, and the guy says, I'll deliver your horse. I'll have it here tomorrow. Well, he shows up the next day, says, I got bad news, Chuck. Chuck says, what do you mean bad news? The horse died last night. Well, give me my money back. Farmer says, I got bad news for you, Chuck. I spent your $100. Chuck says, well, just bring me the dead horse. What are you going to do with a dead horse? He says, I'm going to sell it. He says, you can't sell a dead horse. Just watch me. And he raffles tickets for this horse. He says, I'm just not going to tell anybody it's dead. He sells 500 raffle tickets at $2 a piece. He clears $898. The farmer came back and said, did anyone complain? He says, yeah, the guy who won the horse. He says, I gave him his $2 back. Chuck is now working for the United States government. That's how it works. That's how it works. Somebody's got a con game and selling you something that's too good to be true. And we live in a society, well, you know what? As a society, why can't we get rid of all the stealing? I understand people justify it. Well, I'm hungry. Or that person has more than me. And they don't need it. We live inside. What if we did this? Folks, a very famous person said this quote. Why can't we do this too? Why don't we just help out? From each according to their means, to each according to their need. Amen? From each according to their means, to each according to their need. Amen? I mean, a great famous person said that. Amen? Amen? Jeremy, come up here. He didn't know he was going to be in the sermon today. Come on up here. Cody, come on up here. Let's try this out. I mean, that's a great thing. How you doing, Cody? You got a job? Yeah. You do? Good. You got a job?
Yes, two.
Two jobs. Oh, even better.
I'm a husband and I work.
What are you doing for lunch? Because you're going to be alone. You got any money on you? Do you have any money on you?
No. Credit card.
Credit card. Oh, that'll work. That'll work. A credit card. What's the limit on it? Ooh, that's a gold card. Here you go. You didn't have any money. He had a credit card. That's better than money. Some places don't take money. There you go. Thank you, guys. From each according to his means to each according to his need. Thanks, guys. Give him a hand. Thanks, guys. Whoa. Come back up here. What are you doing? No. He gave it to me, and I have 300 witnesses. Put that in your pocket. What are we doing for lunch today?
Where do you want to go?
Anywhere we want, and you're all invited. Now, that's not fair, but people said amen. From each according to his means, to each according to his need. This young man has no money. I mean, look at him. single young man, you want your credit card back?
Yes.
Okay. Apparently, the person who said that, that we said amen to, can I tell you that's bad? A guy by the name of Karl Marx said this. It's called Marxism and socialism, and it's a terrible idea. When it's you they're taking it from, hey, take it from somebody else. It's a great idea, but don't take it from me. So here you go. Can I have your shirt?
No.
Do you have anything on you at all? Do you have a cell phone? Do you have any? That'll work. There you go. Now, let me do this another way. Instead of from each according to his means to each according to his need, apparently this guy's needy. He's got no money, and he can't find anything else, and he wouldn't give me a shirt. So is this your car? Perfect. There you go. All right. Thank you very much. Give them a hand. Well, in first service, I saw $40 get exchanged. Who in the world, who in their right mind would say to someone who's poor, take what they have and give it to someone who has even more? That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. We ought to take it from you and distribute. You have two jobs, and we ought to distribute it to those who have no jobs. And Jesus, wait a minute, who would say something so ridiculous? Jesus said something this ridiculous. He didn't say to do that. That was Karl Marx. Bad idea, bad way to do it. You say, wait a minute. All the rich and all this, no. They never took Robin Hood, and we've all cheered on Kevin Costner, right? We've all cheered, rob from the rich and give to the poor. Well, that's a great idea, and we've cheered him on. Go get him. Go get Little John. But he wasn't robbing from the people. He was robbing from the government who had already robbed them. See, there's a difference. I don't want anybody robbing any individual. I don't want the government telling anybody what to do with their money. In fact, today, welfare in our country, in every community, churches and nonprofits do 3 times more giving in charity than our government does in its entire welfare system. You know what that means? That means the churches are knocking it out of the park, and nobody is making them give anything. They are voluntarily doing it. It's when someone says, I'm going to rob you, rich person, and I'm in charge of who it goes to. That's a problem. That's called socialism. And we actually had a presidential candidate, Bernie Sanders, that people are going, this is great. Let me be crystal clear. What a terrible, terrible idea for our country. And we've gotten to such a poor place of handouts, freebies, and stealing things that aren't ours, that we're so commonplace, let's just go ahead and rob anybody that we want to until they come get it from us. Then all of a sudden, we're not for it. How do we have a socialist on any kind of platform saying, you seriously have a shot at being the president? It doesn't work unless you want to stand in food lines and be under a tyranny government who wants to rule your life and say, we can do it better than you can. So there it is. Like it or not, we can have different political views, but you cannot have different spiritual views than Jesus Christ, who said very clearly, Pastor Spencer, would you come here, please? And bring your wallet. Pastor Justin, would you come here, please? No, don't bring your wallets. Come on up, guys. So I have Pastor Spencer here, and I have Justin. These are pastors. The Lord comes along and he says, I'm going to give Pastor Justin 1 talent. Here's your talent, my friend. Pastor Spencer gets 5 talents. We've already created a class system. Thank you, Jesus. And then he says, Pastor Mitch, you get 10 talents. So we're doing our thing. I'm using my 10 talents. He's using his 5 talents, and he's using his 1. One day, Pastor Justin wakes up. He shows up in the office. He said, this isn't fair. Pastor Spencer gets 5, Lord. You've given him 4 more than me, probably because he's the pastor's son. A little favoritism. The Lord says, I give talents to everyone. You just use yours. Well, one day, he gets upset. He says, fine. Well, I've only got 1, so I'm just going to kind of do this with it. And I've got 10. Now, the government says, well, and socialism and Satan comes along and says, you know what's fair? You know what's fair? Let's take five of Pastor Mitch's. He's got 10. Let's say that's not fair. We don't like people who are being prosperous and doing well with their talents. Even though he's doing well, we ought to take five of his, and so we say, take five of his and give them to Pastor Justin. Now, I have five, and he has six, regardless of the numbers. Pastor Justin, who had the one, who isn't, as Jesus said, even using the one to its fullest ability, because he feels bad that he's not like everyone else on the stage, so as a church member, I'm going to go bury mine, and I'll give it back to Jesus when I get to heaven, but I'm not going to serve in the nursery. I'm not going to serve in the kids' ministry. I'm not going to get involved in the worship. I'm not going to Bible study because I only have one little gift. I'm not like those 10 gifters. And now we take the five, we give it to Pastor Justin. Now he takes what he wasn't faithful in one, now we've given him six to be in charge of, and now Pastor Mitch only has half the talent that he used to have. That's the solution? Make him half as good, and the unfaithful one who can't handle his ways all of a sudden has more. Guess where that's going to end up? In the ground. Now you only have half a pastor. Thank you, gentlemen. What do we do with that? Some of you are relating this politically. I'm just going to straight up say spiritually. I think those who are faithful with what they have will answer to God, and those who are unfaithful with what they have will answer to God. But stealing something from someone when it's not yours is unbiblical. Stop stealing. It doesn't work in my house with my children, and it's not going to work in my country, and it's not going to work in the church. It will not work. We each need to use what we have, and we need to make it work with what we have. So what do? We steal people's time. Look at this in Malachi chapter 3 in verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, do not change so that you're not destroyed. Thank God he doesn't change. Then he says, ever since the time of your forefathers, you keep turning away from me. You know what we do? We're unfaithful in our time. You ever steal anybody's time? A few years ago, I had a membership class. Time is the most valued commodity that you and I own. It's not your 401k. It's not your car. It's not your job. It's not your clothes. It's not your cell phone. Those you can replace, upgrade, and do this. Time, you have 86,400 seconds today, and when it's gone at the stroke of midnight, Cinderella, guess what? Your bank account is empty. You will never get back today. Today will be today, and that's all that exists, and you are a fleeting vapor, and you are passing away, and today will be gone. You can't have it tomorrow. You can't bank it. I showed up here on a Saturday. 17 people showed up years ago, or signed up, for membership class. On a Saturday, my time is very important. So I said to my wife, I have a membership class. I do these about once every couple months. I got up on a Saturday morning where normally I'm cooking bacon and eggs and toast for my kids. We're kind of relaxing in our PJs. We might go to an apple orchard. We might go for a bike ride or a walk. I only have my kids for a short time. I showed up on a Saturday. I drove out here about a half-hour drive. Or a half hour time to get ready, get out here. So I lost that half hour. I got out here. Nobody showed. I sat here for an hour. Not one of 17 people showed up. I waited for another half an hour just kind of hanging out thinking, well, maybe they thought it was 10 o'clock. I got home about 11 o'clock. I told my wife, she said, how'd the class go? She goes, you're late. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, nobody showed up. I'm so frustrated. I lost an entire half a day that morning. I lost a half a day with my family. 17 people robbed me of my children's time. You say that's not true. That is absolutely true. They can replace my phone. They can steal my money. They can break my car and replace all those. I can never have that morning back with my children ever in history. That's the one most valuable thing. We have 500 people here this morning. I don't sleep well on Saturday nights. Because I don't want to steal your time. You've chosen to set a day aside, the Sabbath day, to worship God. You've chosen to come here on this morning to worship God. I find that extremely important. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want you to walk out here going, I just gave half of my Sunday. I went to church. What a waste of time. I do not want to steal your time. And so when Sonia puts together the worship team, I know she works so hard. She does everything she can to make sure when you come in here, you get to say, God, show me your glory. This is not a waste of time. I'm walking in the worship of God. She spends a lot of time to make sure your time is worshiping God. And on Saturday nights, I go over and over and over and over and over and over and over again for hours of what I've been studying for weeks to make sure when you show up that you get to hear, can I tell you, that you are in an incredible relationship with a God who desperately loves you, and you can make it. You guys can make it. God has a miracle for you. That little child is a miracle waiting to happen because you chose to give your time to God. You in your relationships, in your time. So you show up here, and I just don't want to go up here and go, well, Jesus loves you. Oh, you got problems? Have faith. Get over it. Stop whining. No. Folks, let's cry together. My wife and I, we cry for this. Some days she just looks at me and she goes, can I cry? I go, no. Your wives ever do this to you? I just need a good cry. I don't know what to do with that. And I said, what's in your heart? She goes, I'm just so burdened right now. I said, let's pray. Who is it in the church? Is it just the church? Is it someone individually? And we just pray and pray and pray. God, let's not waste anyone's time. We want to make sure that our time is not stolen from us. Do not steal my time. Do not say you're going to do something. Do not take something that's not yours because you can't replace it. God says, I'll give you some time. In Psalm chapter 90, he tells King David, how much time do you have today? He says, the length of your days is 70 years, maybe 80 if you have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they will quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger for the wrath that is due you? Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us, O Lord, to number our days, so we can be wise, get a heart of wisdom. Can I tell you, don't rob God of time. He really would like some of your time because he's going to give you eternity to trade for it, okay? Can you give God your time? Because he'll give you all the time in the world. The second thing we shouldn't steal is God's tithe. In Malachi, it says, weird transition, by the way. He says in Malachi verses 8 through 11, they're having this conversation, and he says, will a man rob God? I don't know how I could rob God. I do know this. Before I was a Christian and involved in a lot of bad activity, a lot of friends of mine, we robbed a lot of church money, churches. It was quick drug money. It was easy. I believe that I robbed God, okay? You think because I robbed a church, I robbed God. Everybody robs God at some point. How do we rob you? In tithes and offerings? You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in the house. Test me in this, and see if I don't just throw open the floodgates of heaven. God makes a promise. He says, listen, what you're doing, it's not about your money. That's the problem. You think you're giving God money. You think I'm writing a check. And by the way, the average Christian writes a check, or tithes 2%. That's not called a tithe, by the way. If you call that a tithe, you're lying and robbing God. That's not true. That is a gift to God. That is a, what's my tip today? Okay? 10% is a tithe. If you're a Christian, you follow God, you say, God, because of all my time, I work 40 to 60 hours a week easily. All of that time, God, I recognize is from you, O Lord, all that I have. And because of that, as a steward of that, I'm going to give you my tithe as a result of that. And I know as a result of that, my next week is going to be under a blessing or a cursing. Some of you are wondering why your finances aren't in order. Can I tell you, if you haven't learned the gift of a heartful gift of giving in a tithe, I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot make God a liar. He said, if you aren't tithing, you are under a curse. It's going to be hard to have a financial blessing. Some of you are in that testing place. He says, test me. Can I invite you to try this out? Test the Lord. He says, it's okay. Find out. Go ahead and give with a cheerful heart, saying, here, Lord, is my gift. I trust you. We've got to get into that place. How does a man rob God? It says, this 60 hours I worked this week is not yours, God. You did not provide it. It is not yours. It's in the words of Nemo and the seagulls, mine, 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 mine. And God says, no, God, God, God. And the difference between a blessed life is where you see that. There was a guy that owned a shoe store. I've never heard these shoes. Ladies, help me. I don't know. Max Jarman owned Ginesco Shoes. Ginesco Shoes. Maybe this is before, I know it's before my time, because here's what happened. He became a multimillionaire, and as a Christian, he supported many causes, including Billy Graham crusades. He gave millions to Billy Graham. The day came, though, his company collapsed, his personal fortune gone. Someone said, Mr. Jarman, don't you regret giving all of that money to Billy Graham's ministry? And he said, no. Why? And the person said, Mr. Jarman, had you kept all that money, you would have had a fortune. He said, no, I didn't lose a penny of what I gave away. I only lost all that I kept. There's a difference here. Your mindset determines your attitude, and your attitude determines your actions. What are you doing with what you have? And so in the book of Acts, there's this couple, nice church couple. They could probably come to grace. We would love them, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a piece of property. They said, hey, the church is having fundraising for a new building. They said, Pastor, we're going to sell this thing. We're going to give you 50% of it. So they sell, let's say, $100,000. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. But he brought the rest. And here's what I think is going down. Honey, we're going to sell this for 100 grand. We told Pastor Mitch we're going to give him 50,000 for this, whatever. We're going to give the church this. On the way, he's going, that's a lot of money, 50,000. Why don't we just tell him it's 10,000? And he gets there. And he says, Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart with all, and you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Why even lie? It's yours. But once you pledge it, let your yes be yes and your no be no. But you lied. We don't really care how much you give. It was yours before and it's yours after. And he says, what made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied to men but to God. Well, when Ananias heard this, and I don't know why, but it says he fell down and died. I don't know if he had a heart attack of guilt. And after great fear seized everyone who heard it, the young men came forward, wrapped his body, carried it out. Well, about 3 hours later, his wife comes in, not knowing what had happened. Well, Peter asked her, hey, tell me, is this the price that you and your husband got for the land? She said, oh, yes, it is. That's the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband, they're on their way to carry you out as well. And at that moment, she fell down and she died. Can I tell you, lying and stealing are so prevalent in our society, I don't think anybody would have that kind of conviction. I'm not sure how bad people feel about stealing things anymore. In fact, they justify it. Give it to me, it's mine. What's yours is mine, you don't deserve it. Can I close the service with this? Don't get caught robbing God of his time. Don't get caught robbing God of the glory that he wants to pour in. Some of you, if you see giving as a part of some kind of obligation that you owe, you're in the wrong place. But if you see all that you have is God's, if you've come together in agreement saying, I'm a Christian, I follow God, can I invite you in to test God? Don't steal my stuff. Don't steal my time. Don't steal my car. Well, if you want my car, you can make the payments. God is blessing us. The last thing is, don't steal God's glory. We're guilty of stealing God's glory. Do you know what we're doing with the tithe? We are blessed. By the way, we are not an average church. You guys do well. But individually, we have about 100, 150 new folks that have been coming to church in the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. Can I invite you in to test the Lord? What do you mean we're stealing the glory? If you've been a Christian for a long time and you're stealing God's glory, you know what I'm about to say. Here it is. God wants to do a miracle. I'm not going to let him. The storehouse is empty. I'm not using my gift. God, you can't have my time. God help us if the church should ever ask that once every 8 weeks you have to work in the nursery. I'm going to ask. We need people once every 8 weeks to work in our nursery. Don't steal God's time. Be part of the glory. Those children, we have about 80 children on Sunday morning just from this service. 70 to 80 kids just in this service that need people who give them their time so that God's glory can teach those children. We have tithing. We have Good grief. Can I tell you, in the last 7 days, you are a unique people. We bought a charter bus, a $25,000 charter bus, and we got brand new seats that have never been sat in before. We just are being mounted in it this past week. We paid cash for it. We had somebody else walk up and said, here, Pastor, here's $1,750. Tomorrow morning, we have 50 new chairs. We need more chairs. Somebody walked up, and this isn't some rich businessman. This is a young college student. Handed this and said, here you go. Bless you. Do what you need to do, Pastor. Let's keep the blessing. Let's get the glory of God. This isn't our glory. A person walked up and said, here's $849, Pastor. That's for almost one-third of the year to broadcast to 1 billion people, grace around the world that we're going to start in January. 2 days later, somebody walked up and said, here's $900 for grace around the world, Pastor. We want to sponsor 3 months of the gospel going to 1 billion people right out of this church. Another person called up this week and said, you're doing a reverse Christmas. How many people do you feed? Last year we fed 8,000 people and we gave 1,200 toys to children. Welcome to Grace Around the World. How about Grace right here in our own community? They said, how many semis last year? Said, we normally do 3 to 4. Last year we were blessed with a fifth one. The youth raised enough money, they're buying a semi. We have some others that have 3 semis from Bernie's group. We have another semi this year ordered, and a guy called up from St. John's United Methodist Church. Nothing to do with, called up because we pray for the whole community and every church, said, Pastor, we'd like to donate $1,200 and buy a semi. Our church wants to partner with this. Here you go. Do what you want with it. See, this isn't about us. This is about the glory of God. We're not going to steal God's glory. We're not doing this. God's doing this. And we want to be a part of that. This keeps happening over and over. I just told you what happened in the last 7 days. This is going on. You want to be a part of the miracle? Give God your time. You want to be a part of the miracle? Test him. Begin tithing. Next week, come in and say, by faith, God, I'm going to plant my seed of faith, my little mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, and I'm going to plant that right into my mountain of doubt. God, I'm going to trust you. And then why don't we do this? There's nothing I can do. It's all God. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. That's us. I heard about a little boy who created this awesome, awesome boat. I used to do models when I was a kid, aircraft carriers, military ships. This little boy made a sailboat. He took all the wood, just meticulously, week in, week out. He put every little wooden piece. He made the sails and the masts and all that. And this little boy got a hobby of making sailboats. So excited. He took that sailboat out to the lake in their town and sailed it around all morning. He just had the best time making that thing and making that thing and making that thing. Sailing it around. So excited. Sat down to have lunch. Stepped away for a minute. Somebody stole his sailboat. Who does this kind of stuff? Honestly. Because it happens every day. You know, it's the devil. He's a thief. He's stolen your joy. He's stolen your precious things. He's stolen your time. He's stolen your joy. He's stolen our children. That little boy was so heartbroken. Weeks went by. He told his dad, he says, I don't think I can do that again. We spent months putting this thing together, every piece. One day he's walking downtown. He went by a hobby store, and in the window was his sailboat. Somebody hawked it at the hobby shop. He ran in, he told the owner, he says, that's my boat. I built that boat. I could show you the carvings, everything. And the owner said, that's my boat. I bought it. And if you want it, you're going to have to pay for it. And there's the price tag. That boy went out for weeks and weeks and weeks. And he raked and he mowed and he collected cans. He did everything he could. And that little boy walked in with his pile of money and he said, here you go. I want to buy that boat back. And he got that boat. He was walking out grinning ear to ear. And he said, this is my boat. You're my boat. I built you, and now I've bought you. You're my boat. And I want you to know, Jesus Christ made you and I. He took time to make us. And Satan, through sin, has stolen us from God. We are lost in sin. And Jesus Christ came, and he piled it up on a cross, and he said, you're mine again. I made you, and now I bought you. How great is the Father? I'm glad you came to church. I hope we didn't waste your time. I hope those of you that are kind of new or newer, you'll come over and say hello and meet our staff for just a few minutes and have a donut and some juice or coffee. Would you stand and pray with me?